T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dale and Keith Show.
I have a huge responsibility for this team. I have to score, I have to rebound, I have to defend, make sure guys get involved, and I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that, and I also have to inspire my teammates to, be better.
Dale Arnold and Rich Keith.
Space Jam. The Monstars.
There was Greg, Come on, Greg!
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2...
Andy, what are you doing? You drop all that LeBron stuff in the open and you set Keith off for the next 4 hours.
Oh, my God. He was, I want to say, rare form.
I have to inspire my teammates.
Yeah, he sure does. He's got a lot on his plate, and just ask him. If you don't think so, just ask him any question, and he's going to point it right back to himself and all that he does for the team. It's like, yeah, you have enough mouthpieces across the NBA and across all these different platforms, radio, TV, whatever, that are going to sing your praises. You don't also need to do it, but he does it every single time. And they had a lot to talk about, obviously, on Saturday because they smashed the Celtics. But
you starting to get a little nervous?
No.
A little Brady scared?
No, I'm not. Unless all of a sudden they give the Cavs a fourth home game, I'm not scared. You're going to react to one game like that, Dale? Are you scared?
They looked awful.
I know they did.
Terry Rozier
said they needed that.
I mean, and
which I don't love that response.
I asked this earlier in the playoffs because it's something, because I come from the hockey world, I don't get this.
Yeah, it's weird.
Why does home court mean so much?
It means everything.
Why can teams not win on the road?
The rims are different.
Are they soft as grapes? What is
yes,
it?
I think there's a lot of that. Well, the old adage is that, stars play well everywhere, and it's sort of the role players that only play well at home. Maybe they're more comfortable. Maybe they're more psyched out by the road crowd. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're distracted on the road for whatever number of reasons. But right now, when you remove the two biggest star players for the Celtics, they have more of those guys that probably fall into that, role player type scenario. Like a Terry Rozier, a Marcus Morris. Even as much as I like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those guys are so young right now. They're not the stars that they're going to be. So they also play better at home. So you put all those guys together, you go on the road. They lost 3 times in Milwaukee. Right, they lost in Philadelphia.
They've only won one road game in the whole playoffs.
Exactly. So it's
how is that?
Well, they have home court in every series, so it doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't matter right now.
They don't. If
no,
they get
don't.
That far,
no, and that's going to be the single reason why they lose to Golden State.
Here's the problem.
What's that?
I think LeBron is good enough to take a game in Boston.
Yes.
What I saw Saturday night, I'm not sure the Celtics are good enough. In fact, I don't think they are good enough to take a game in Cleveland. I think they're going to lose tonight.
No, see, I think they can definitely bounce back. I think Cleveland still has the same problems. They're the same roster from the first two games. When we were looking at them and saying, it's LeBron James, it's Kevin Love sort of every other night, and then it's a bunch of scrubs. And guess what? They're still scrubs. How about J.R. Smith knocking down threes and then shrugging like Michael Jordan in the 92 finals? Don't do that. What? Oh, you're surprised you made it 3 because you were ice cold in the first two games? You're not good enough to do the shrug thing. I don't know why he was doing that. That was driving me nuts. But it's still J.R. Smith. It's still George Hill. They don't need to be worried about Larry Nance or Tristan Thompson. So those guys are going to come back down to earth. I think the Celtics, and Rozier said it, and I didn't like what he said, but I kind of understand where he was coming from. They were riding really high. They won the first. This is a team that everybody counted out. People like myself picking against them in the first round, and now all of a sudden they're up 2-0 in the conference finals against LeBron. Yeah, they did probably all of a sudden think it was going to be a little bit easier than it was, and they got spanked, and now they can never think that way again. I think they bounce back. I think they end up winning tonight.
Boy, based on what, though? I mean, just based on what we saw the last time out, it's like yeah. I watched Golden State last night, and I can't picture Houston beating that team again. By the way, just a
no,
quick,
but
quick
we
aside.
Said that, no, but that's a good example, Dale. They game one, we were like, oh, the Golden State's going to sweep,
yeah.
And then Houston won by 20 the next night. Like, it's crazy how there is no momentum between game to game.
Quick aside,
yes,
isn't it my feeling when I watch him when Steph Curry's on? There is nobody in the NBA who makes scoring look easier than he does.
Correct. Him and his teammate Durant, but the two guys, when they're both on.
He's just got, when he's on.
Yeah, the way he shoots and the way he just throws the ball.
Yeah, every single thing he throws up you think is going in,
it's
and most of it does.
Yeah.
He's an amazing, but back to the Celtics thing. I like the fact that Marcus Morris said yesterday, you know, I played bleep defense. You know, this is all on me. Okay. Tell me how you're going to fix that tonight.
He may not.
Tell me what he's going to do that's going to turn that problem around.
But I don't think so. If LeBron has another good game, like they already proved, like look at the game two that he had. So Marcus Morris, as great as he was in game one, that's not going to be the only reason why you're able to beat the Cavs. If LeBron goes for 40 plus points in a triple double, we've already seen that doesn't guarantee victory. So they just need the other guys to be as bad as they were in the first two games, and I think there's a better chance of that. There's more likely than not that Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, George Hill, Tristan Thompson, all those guys who were in double figures on Saturday night, I don't think you're going to get a repeat performance from all four of those guys. They're not all of a sudden, you know, these super consistent guys. So if LeBron goes off, which he probably will, he'll probably have a monster game. But that's fine. I mean, we've seen it firsthand, and I think the Celtics will be better. I mean, who played well for them on Saturday?
Anybody? No one.
Like, nobody. Right, so that's not going to happen again.
Jaylen Brown, first two games of this series, here, obviously.
He was horrible.
Combines for 46 points. Game three, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 turnovers.
The 10 points seems high. I'm like, I don't even remember the 10 points.
He did get to 10.
He got 10 points. He also had 5 fouls. Like, he took himself out of that game. It was interesting because before the game, he was talking about how it's difficult to guard LeBron when you can't touch him. And I don't know if the officials were aware of that or what was going on, but he picked up a bunch of dumb fouls in the game. Even his 5th foul. Now, he was already in foul trouble, and I think he was probably mentally checked out of that game. His 5th foul was so stupid. Like, he was doubling off on LeBron, trying to steal it from him. Like it's that's easy to do. And he just started hacking him. And you're like, well, that's obviously a foul.
And down by how many at that point?
Yeah, that was useless. So, but I think that's a learning moment for him. And I think he has been really good for the majority of the playoffs. So I don't think he's going to have 2 stinkers in a row.
I said to you on Friday that I thought the extended break between games 2 and 3 would help the Cavaliers more than the Celtics. The more veteran team, the older team, you know, can use the rest more. And it sure looked like that was the case, didn't it? Which means, by the way, the Celtics should have a bit of an advantage tonight, getting back to an every other day type of schedule.
Yeah, for the rest of the series, it's every other day. And so hopefully that does help the Celtics. It was terrible. But you see that all the time in the playoffs. Like, look at last night. I mean, it was a 40-point game. So even if it's a series that you think it's more evenly matched, I know everybody's picking the Warriors over the Rockets, but at the same time, Houston had a 22-point victory in the series. Then they lose by 40. Like, it's insane how teams that you might think is going to be a hard-fought series doesn't necessarily, like, this Celtics-Cavs series could go 6 or 7, but there might be a couple more 20-point blowouts in there.
I guess it's just
bizarre.
The question, if you're a Celtics fan, is, was last night the aberration? I mean, Saturday night, was that the aberration? If you're a Celtics fan, you're saying, okay, J.R. Smith looked like he could shoot again. I'm not going to be looking for that to happen tonight.
Yeah. I think it is. I definitely think it is, because everything we were saying on Friday when they were up 2-0, that's still true. And we knew that it wasn't going to be easy to go into Cleveland, because the Celtics were, 1-4 on the road against worse teams. So I don't think anybody was going there. I don't know. Like, neither you or I said it was going to be a sweep. So that means they were going to lose at least one of the games in Cleveland. And that one makes the most sense to lose, Game 3. Because if the Celtics were able to take Game 3, I feel like it probably just would have been a sweep. At that point, LeBron's already, you know, buying another house in L.A. or he's buying a house in Houston. Like, he's out of there. He's gone. But at, you know, Game 3, LeBron proved, like, hey, he's gonna put the team on his back once again. His guys were knocking down shots, which did not happen in the first two games. And the Celtics were just bad. They didn't have anybody doing anything. And it was right away. I mean, early in the game, I was waiting for that one run. Like, weren't you thinking, like, all right, the Celtics may not win this game, but they're at least going to make it close, and just didn't happen.
Everybody says in the NBA, nothing matters until the home team loses.
Right.
So even if Cleveland wins tonight, and I think they're going to win tonight, you're going to say, that's fine. Then it's best 2 out of 3, and 2 of the 3 are on your court.
Right.
I just think I can see LeBron stealing a game here. I can see it happening easily.
Yeah, well, obviously they're going to have to do it. But I don't know, because do you think all of a sudden George Hill or Jordan Clarkson or J.R. Smith is going to play well in like, he needs another guy to run with him. Like, in fact, even another guy outside of Kevin Love, because everybody on the Celtics just plays better at home.
Kyle,
like,
Korver, theoretically?
Maybe, right. It would have to be Korver, maybe Smith. Like, I'm not shocked that J.R. Smith knocked down a few shots. Like, he was doing it the first two rounds of the playoffs. He was hitting over 40% of his threes. So he's not the worst player in the world. Now, his game two performance was terrible, like 0-for-7, and he had the flagrant foul. So he was going to be a little bit better. But when they come back to Boston, I wouldn't expect all of a sudden this huge turnaround. Like, Cleveland still is a pretty flawed team. Like, they don't play defense. The Celtics just missed a bunch of shots, I thought. I don't think it was...
God, they couldn't shoot a lick first.
And think about the difference here. The Celtics made 6 threes in the entire game. The Cavs made 17, and they shot 50% from 3. They shot better from 3 than they did from 2. That can happen. Now, honestly, the exact opposite could happen tonight. You know, with some of the streaky shooters that both teams have, the Celtics could knock down 15, 16 threes tonight, and they could win in a runaway.
Yeesh.
I'll tell you, the one game scares you. You didn't think it was going to be a sweep, though.
No, heck no.
Right.
But I didn't think they'd look as bad as they did.
They got smashed.
They looked awful. Like if I was a Houston Rockets fan today, yeah, I'd be so depressed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
41?
You should be happy you didn't get swept there. I mean, Golden State's a lot better than Houston is. Yeah, 41 is just... I don't know how you explain that one away. Although, don't some people say, you'd rather just get blown out and move on to the next game than, you know, lose at the buzzer like in overtime? I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that just sounds like something that people who get blown out would
convince
say.
Convince yourself?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, tonight's a huge night for the Celtics, because if they get... look, I think they're going to lose anyway. But if they go out there and lose by 3 or 4, then you say, okay, fine. You'll come back here on Wednesday night. You'll be fine. Everything will be great. If they go out there and get thrashed like they did Saturday night, I'm going to be doubting them. And sure, the question is, are they going to be doubting themselves?
But, I mean, you don't have to go that far back to have a situation like this. Like, there was a couple, you know, go back to series number 1 against the Milwaukee Bucks. The Celtics are up 2-0. They go into Milwaukee, and the Bucks dominated that game, didn't they? I mean, the final score was 116-92. It was another one where the Bucks scored 30-something points in the first quarter, and they took control of the game, and they dominated that game. And they didn't win a single road game in that entire series, but I don't think nobody was feeling great about that game 3. And then they lose again. Now it's even. You're saying, all right, well, you know, Milwaukee has more talent and all this other stuff, but the Celtics were able to bounce back and take care of their business at home. And I wouldn't be surprised if something similar plays out against Cleveland.
So that's the big news coming up tonight. We've got other things that we'll talk about throughout the course of the day as well. Doris Burke's going to join us from Cleveland.
Nice.
At 3:30 today. And Doris is the sideline reporter, obviously, does a great job for ESPN and working with those guys. She'll join us at 3:30. We will at some point this afternoon talk about what's going on down at Gillette, because I do think this is starting to matter now.
Good. Thank you, Dale. I was wondering where you were going to go with this, because I definitely think it matters.
Now it matters.
Okay, good.
Today's the first day of 7-on-7, 11-on-11, throwing the football.
Yeah, you're wearing helmets.
There's no contact,
no.
Obviously.
Well, but hopefully for Brady there never is.
Yeah, that would be best. And you are doing it today, yeah, without the two most important cogs on your offense. Again, when it was just working out, I didn't care. He's not doing their workouts anyway.
Yeah, you don't need him to walk around the weight room. I'm kind of with you on that. It was a little out of the ordinary, but you know what? He skipped those before. This is a little bit different. You know, Brady's there almost every single year for this. This is when you're out there with both new and old teammates. You know, I think maybe more important with the new, but still, you know, I think this is a little bit odd. This is more odd. This becomes an issue, and this continues the drama and the soap opera that's been going on for about a year now.
This is when now is the time when Brady, yeah, I think, needs the time with the new guys. He needs to throw to Cordarrelle Patterson. He needs to, you know, work with guys that he hasn't worked with before.
Right.
Having said that, I have a bigger problem with Gronk not being there than I do Brady. Because Brady, I sort of half understand. We kind of knew family time. He was concerned about the time with his family. Gronk's concerned about spending time on the beach in Jamaica with his girlfriend, apparently.
See, I'm more concerned about...
I mean, in terms of the team's success, it's Brady's
Brady.
More
That's
important.
That's what I'm saying.
But the fact that...
Oh, the reasons behind
exactly.
it,
exactly.
Okay. I think Brady, again, for the team, and so we would agree on that. Yeah, Gronk, it just seems like he's sitting out to sit out. Although, for Brady, if you're going to say family, which obviously family is extremely important,
yes.
you want to spend more time with your family, I get it, but you were able to work out at UCLA. You know, you were able. The report is he's going to be going out to Montana again. So you are working out. Like, nobody's ever suggesting you're not going to be in shape. So you're working out.
That, I'm not worried about that at all.
But,
for either guy.
No, but my point is with Brady. So you're still doing these other things to stay in shape. It's not. You know what I mean? Like, you can't take time and go to Gillette now. They were talking about, you know, now that it's phase three. That's the other thing. It sounds like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's phase three for the off-season program. And now you can be at the facility for 6 hours. I guess phase one and two, you can only be there for a total of 4 hours. So now it's 6 hours. That's a good chunk of time, but you're still working out. You're still getting ready for the next season. Why can't you do it with your teammates?
And here's the other thing about now in Gronk's case, I'll be curious to see what happens as of May 24th.
Right.
May 24th is the anniversary date when he can theoretically redo his contract. There's a guy who covers the NFL named James Palmer who tweeted out earlier today that he is hearing that there is a restructuring that they are undertaking on behalf of Rob Gronkowski. Look, we thought that from the time Drew Rosenhaus met with Bill Belichick and Gronk, you know, several weeks ago. So supposedly, according to James Palmer, they're reworking the deal. They can't do it until the 24th. Does Gronk walk through the door on the 24th and say, "Here I am"?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just waiting for that to happen. Then once he gets his guarantees, he does. And that, you know, that would make a little bit of sense. Because I think the plan is, what is it, today and tomorrow? Then I think they have like a day off. And then they're back at it. I saw the breakdown earlier. So it's not every single day.
24th is Thursday.
Yeah.
That's the day they could undergo a contract change on that day. Has to be the one-year anniversary of the last contract that he did.
Right, so if he skips the first couple of days and then is there once he signs the contract, then okay, then it's sort of, all right, here we go. You know, that a lot of guys would do that. Not that you're necessarily in a huge fear of getting hurt during these, but crazy things happen, so maybe he just wants to make sure and go from there.
I heard Christian talking about this earlier today, and he would know much more than us in terms of, you know, the mental state you have to get in the offseason. Brady's been doing this for 18 years. It was clear in Tom versus Time. He's concerned about time with his family, time away from his family, the offseason commitment that he's always undertaken without reservation. We kind of half thought this might happen, that he was going to back off a little bit. And I'm okay with that until today. I didn't care about the other stuff. He's doing his own thing. He doesn't need to work. He doesn't need to be doing squats in the weight room with Julian Edelman.
It was like a month ago. Was it Jeff Darlington? Or who was the reporter that said he's going to skip all of the voluntary stuff? And we're like, well, maybe he just means like the workout part.
Right.
But he said he's going
to
resolve it.
When it came to, okay, yeah. We're going to throw the football now. We're going to 11 on 11. We're going to start putting in the, you're not putting in the offense, but putting in the time to make a relationship, not only with new guys, but even with guys who've been here before.
Right.
Malcolm Mitchell's going to be out there. You know, he's been away for a little while. It would probably do him some good.
Right.
And this is the day when his absence starts to bother me.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I even thought it was worth mentioning before, even though I don't need him, you know, benching and squatting with all the other guys on the team. But I just thought, all right, if you're normally going there, why wouldn't you just keep that going? But you can sort of understand it. Sarah, that's not the end of the world. This is a little bit different. This is odd. This is usually a part of what Tom Brady does to prepare for the next season and to get on the same page. Like you said, maybe it's a guy coming off injury, or maybe it's a new guy like Jordan Matthews or Cordarrelle Patterson or whatever, just to have Brady a part of it, which he has always been. So it's strange. Now mini camp is later on. Again, that's also part of this phase three. So this is technically voluntary.
When you get to mandatory,
then you have mandatory.
He's
got to
be here. Then.
I would assume he's there then.
This is still technically voluntary. No, it's not technically. It is voluntary.
Well,
it
right.
is.
Yeah, sure.
Well, especially if your name is Brady, then it's really voluntary.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if your name is Malcolm Mitchell, it's probably not voluntary.
Yeah, I would scratch off voluntary from that list.
So we'll get into that as the afternoon goes along as well. But I was a little surprised. I really did think, I had built it up in my head, he was going to be there today. It was going to be quiet. Nobody's going to say anything. He was just going to drive in and start, you know, throwing the ball around the lot with the with his teammates. Now, on Instagram, I do know that Giselle is off somewhere in the world. I don't know where, but she's, I don't read Portuguese, and her tweets are all in Portuguese, but she's off somewhere.
You put that in the old translator, and, the old Bing translator. They got it right there for you.
Well, Tom Brady responds with lots of hearts and stuff.
All right, so probably something good.
So, oh, no, it's all fine, good, but good. She's off doing some business mogul thing.
All right.
And maybe Tom feels an obligation to be home with the kids while she's away doing her thing.
Maybe. Couldn't get a sitter.
I think he could probably get whatever he needs, but this goes back to that whole you know commitment to the family in the off season. We know Giselle's going to be away in this period. I'm going to be here for the kids when she's gone.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and maybe that's the answer to it, but it doesn't have to be one of those things, because you always heard about how he was, you know, before he was the first guy there, last guy to leave, all that nonsense. But for this, you would think you could even just go. Doesn't live all that far away. You go, you take part in what the team is, and then you can get out of there. You can get back to your kids. So, yeah, it's definitely something, and it's going to continue the talk about, you know, the rift between coach and quarterback and where it goes from here.
So we'll start with Celtics, because I am getting a little nervous.
You are.
I am.
You are.
I saw them get their asses kicked Saturday.
What's the bigger deal? Tom Brady skipping OTAs or Patriots getting worked over in Game 3?
Oh, no, the Celtics getting worked over in Game 3 is a much bigger deal.
You're very vocal after the Game 3 loss. How do you feel now going into Game 4?
I think we all feel very confident. Obviously, after watching film, getting back in here yesterday, seeing what we can do. You know, we're ready to get after you. Obviously, it's a late game. It's at 8:30. We all anxious. We're ready to play. We'll be ready when the time comes.
You felt it wasn't a bad thing, you know, to kind of take it, you know, lose by 30 the other night. You still feel that way?
Yeah, sometimes it's a reality check. Definitely do. Sometimes it need to happen. I'm not taking nothing away from Cleveland. There's a lot of things we still could have did better. And that's something we got to look to clean up tonight.
That whole dribbling basketballs in the background is
a little much.
Gets a little old.
A little much. You know what? I don't think you had to look at the film to realize you got smoked in that one.
Now, hockey, when they get sound in hockey, they don't do it at the practice rink while guys are slapping pucks around the boards. You do it in the locker room where you only have guys, you know, dancing and singing and stuff.
Well, isn't that nice, Dale? Isn't that so great for hockey? They can do that. That's really nice.
The dribbling basketball thing drives me crazy.
Yeah, it is. But guys, they got to work on their shots, and they certainly do after Game 3. Take some more threes, take some more free throws, just get to work.
Certainly things we could do better. Yeah, like everything.
I can't think of anything that you couldn't do better. Like, that was bad all the way around. You didn't think they were going to be that bad defensively. You didn't think, I thought Terry
Don't
Rozier.
Don't you think defenses usually want to? I always feel like defenses want to, and they didn't feel like they wanted to all that
much. It was really strange, and so I think it was Jeff Van Gundy who pointed out that the team that has won every game in the series has played just harder. And you're like, how can that be? Like, it's the playoffs. Like, how are you not? And that was a surprise when you saw Cleveland in the first game. You're like, geez, are they even kind of just going through the motions here? And then you got some of that same feeling from the Celtics watching them in Game 3. And you're like, how can effort ever be an issue in the playoffs? Honestly, it shouldn't be in the regular season, but you kind of get it. Like, it just happens. Human nature. It's a long season. Maybe it's a back-to-back or whatever. You're not going to be on all 82 games. But how do you not have your full effort in the playoffs? That makes no sense to me.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight, because, look, they win this thing, fine. Everything's great. You're in great shape. Get ready for the NBA Finals. You lose tonight.
No, Dale, no. It's just home serve. Then they got to go back. They win on Wednesday in Game 5.
By the way, Wednesday, they play at home at the Garden.
Yes.
We'll be at West End Johnny's on Wednesday.
We'll be right there.
Right in the neighborhood.
That's right.
West End Johnny's from 2 to 6, up on down.
Good.
Have an adult beverage before you go to the game.
I like the sound of that. You talking to me?
All of that stuff.
Oh, good.
Well, no, I'd prefer
not
you
me
wait
specifically.
Till after.
Well, 6. Right at 6.
6, you know.
6 sharp.
Do what you want at 6.
I will. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, let's get to the calls with you guys. Peter's in JP. Peter, you're up first on Sports Radio's Dale and Keith.
Guys, how you doing?
What's up?
Before the series started, I picked the Celtics in 5 or 6. And the reason I did is because they were the best defensive team in the NBA. And they are young. They are tough. They are strong. And they showed that in the first 2 games. But what Cleveland did the other night was ridiculous. I mean, the Celtics have only been beaten by 20 points twice out of 97 games. and only 30 points once, and that was the other night. If LeBron James can play defense, and if the rest of the team shoots 50% from three, we're done. If they shoot 50% from the 3-point line, Korver and J.R. Smith or whatever, I think we're done.
But yeah, you think that's going to happen again?
I don't. You know, they're good 3-point shooters. They really are.
Yeah, well, they were in the first two games. They didn't hit anything. So I mean, you even said you thought they were going to win in 5 or 6. That means they're going to lose a couple of times. So I don't know why everyone's just going to freak out.
No. I would. You know.
What do you mean? No.
10,
that, what?
If they had lost by 10 and it was a competitive game.
So when the Warriors lost by 22 in Game 2, were you like, oh, they're done? No, they won out the next night, won by 40. Like, I think you're getting caught way too much up in one game.
No, that's what I'm saying. I still like the Celtics.
Yeah.
But if they get blown out again in game
tonight,
4,
yeah.
I'm not confident that, you know.
Okay.
Did you see?
Now we have to wait for another blowout?
Did you see the stats? Sean Grandy posted these on his Twitter feed. The Celtics this year. When the Celtics don't have Kyrie Irving,
okay,
at home they're 18-3, on the road they're 7-10 without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
With Kyrie Irving at home they're 18-11. On the road they're 22-8.
Yeah, see, you need that guy. You need that
22-8
right.
With him on the road, 7-10 without him on the road.
And that's a pretty good sample size. You know, that's not, hey, 5 games against bad teams and they're 5-0 or whatever. Like that's a pretty big sample size. I'm sure they played just about everybody there. And that sort of proves the point of superstar players. That's what makes them superstar players. They're good no matter where the game's played. You know, home, road, Mars, doesn't matter. Where it's the fringe guys that all of a sudden, they can get swallowed up by the road crowd, and they just don't respond the same. And right now, the Celtics have a lot of those guys, and so it works when they're at home. Great, you know, Terry Rozier looks like an all-star, and other guys they look fantastic. But then you go on the road, and it's a little bit different. Same can be said for some of the guys on Cleveland. Now I know they're a little bit older, but George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver. I mean, it's night and day what those guys were, at least in this series, home and road. So, yeah, I'm not going to get completely worked up about what happened. Again, the Celtics lost by over 20 points in Game 3 to the Bucks, and then, I mean, that series had to go 7. There were a lot of really tight, close games in there, but they ultimately moved on.
I would not expect, at least I hope, that Cleveland doesn't shoot 50% from 3 again.
I doubt it.
They shoot 50% from 3, you're probably in trouble tonight.
Yeah, well, and on the flip side, what did the Celtics shoot from 3? Like 30%? Less than 30%.
Horrible.
So it wasn't like they're knocking them down and like you're keeping pace with them and then, you know, it's a wash. It was not a wash. It was a huge advantage. They outscored the Celtics by 33 points just on 3-pointers alone.
Bill's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Jay, I've heard that the Cavaliers concentrated on 4 out of 5 players. They let Tatum shoot, and they're concentrating on the other 4, especially Horford.
Yeah, Horford didn't do anything. So what's your point, Bill?
Yeah, so can Brad adjust to that?
Do you think Brad's a good coach?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so what do you think? I bet he makes some changes, don't you think?
Because that's why Horford, you know, didn't do very well. They probably concentrated on him with the other 3.
Horford, and good call, Bill.
I thought
Horford,
the problem was more with Jaylen Brown. Even Jaylen Brown said it was like they wouldn't let me get the ball.
No, he was bad. Horford didn't take a shot in the first half. Like, what do you do? Like, I'm not saying he's your leading scorer, but no shots in the first half?
I remembered a missed 3-pointer in the first quarter. I
they were talking at halftime anyway.
Everybody else missed one. Yeah,
you know what? Maybe add him to the list. But, you know, that was one of the things at halftime. I think even coming back from the break, Doris Burke was talking about how that was inexcusable. And Horford said that, and Brad Stevens said that. They said he's got to be more involved there. They got to be a little bit more aggressive. And so I think that'll be a little bit different. I wonder if some of the shine is a little bit off of Marcus Morris, who was great as he was in Game 1. Maybe you don't stick with him. And, you know, maybe if, you know, the Cavs, who also out-rebounded him on Saturday, if you want to go with Aaron Baines, maybe go bigger again in the starting lineup and then adjust after that.
It didn't look like Aaron Baines had many answers for LeBron James either.
Well, I mean, nobody has LeBron James answers, but if he's, you know, gets in Tristan Thompson's way or Kevin Love's way, then I'll take it.
Joe's in West Hampton. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys, I had a quick question. I was wondering what you guys thought, like, the amount of hours Tom Brady actually spends at home. I mean, it's not like he's on the Sox or the Bruins where they're doing this, you know, 10-game West Coast trip. But, like, on a regular day basis, I know he sacrifices with his diet and this and that, but how much longer is his away from home than...
He's basically there 12 hours a day. He's there at 6 in the morning and there till 6 at night. And, you know, usually during the season, he says he's in bed by 8 or 8:30. He's away. He does not spend a lot of time with his family during the football season.
That's it. I was just curious.
And look, I understand that, you know, a lot of folks have to make a living out there and a lot of folks have to sacrifice.
Yeah. And everybody
would
probably want to spend more
time. If you're some long-distance truck driver, you're probably seeing your kids a whole lot less than Tom Brady seeing his kids. Mm-hmm. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
He's been at this for 18 years. He has sacrificed a lot of time away from his family, by his own admission, by the way. This isn't me saying it. It's him saying it. And he wants to try to, I don't know, kind of make it up to them a little bit here. He will be, trust me, when he's playing football, he'll be totally, completely committed to it. You know, it's not like he's going to be strolling into the facility at, you know, 8:30 on a Monday morning during the football season. He'll be there at 6 o'clock in the morning like he always is.
Right. The question is, does it impact how he plays this year, or maybe even more importantly, how he plays with his teammates? Like, is this an opportunity for him to get on the same page with some guys that he's never played with before? And is he sort of going to condense all of that into, you know, mini camp, training camp, and or whatever else? Like, this is something that he's always been to in the past, so it is different. It's out of the ordinary.
He has said in the past this matters, though.
He sure has.
How concerned should you be about all of this?
I think it's a red flag, the fact that he's not there, that somebody who has been such a part of that team for so long and wants to train on his own with Alex Guerrero, with the TB12 system, with that product, and eat his avocado ice cream and all the things that come along with that during the offseason. Again, he's going to be there when it counts. He's going to be there when it matters. So in the grand scheme of things, is it a huge deal? No, but I think it's a red flag that says all is not perfectly well.
Adam Schefter talking about a possible red flag for Tom Brady not being here. Now, back to your point, Rich, and you said earlier, I can see where a lot of folks are saying, come on, what's the big deal? He'll be here for the stuff he's got to be here for. You know, October, November, when he's flinging touchdown passes around the lot, you're not even going to think back to this and remember it. And what difference does it make? We're talking about voluntary OTAs. You know, you're not hitting. You're not even in full pads.
But,
well, now Tom Brady in the past has talked about the importance of things like OTAs.
Well, he's just so consistent. I think he, you know, has such an approach and an urgency to his coaching and, you know, how he gets the whole staff prepared and the players and, you know, everything's important. The walkthroughs, the OTAs, the mini camps, training camp, you know. I don't think you'd notice many times between a OTA day and a, you know, Super Bowl week the way that, you know, he approaches the preparation. So
the question was about Bill Belichick. So that's the he that he's referring to there. But he is talking about how important, you know, Belichick takes all of these things. So he knows. He's been there with him for two decades. So forget whether you, Dale, or I think that, you know, training camp and OTAs are important. He thinks they are. He knows that they are. So this is no small thing that he is missing out. So you're right. The result, like, I'm not going to sit here in the middle of May and say Tom Brady missing these 2 weeks is going to directly impact wins and losses for this season. But at the same time, it's not nothing. Like, there's an opportunity for him to be with some of his new teammates, be with some of the guys that were hurt and coming back. You know, the young guys can just see what it's like to go through, you know, the OTAs with Tom Brady being there. Like, there is some trickle-down effect to this.
Mike Giardi dug up this quote from Tom Brady. Quote, "You think, God, it's just another OTA in the springtime and it's not that important. And all those things that could probably enter your mind. But the truth is, this lays the foundation for the start of training camp. If you have a good training camp, it usually means a good start to the season. Good start to the season leads to good position entering the second half of the season, which leads to a good playoff. So everything ends up having some significance to it."
Yeah, so there you go. Now, do you think, obviously, you know, he has pointed to family. You know, Tom versus time, that was very clear. You know, the sacrifices that they have made for him, and he wants to be able to make some of those sacrifices for him. So that is sort of the main reason that sort of gets put out there. Do you think if he and Bill Belichick were 100% on the same page, if he would be there today?
Well, other people on the text machine have suggested that the other reason he's not there is because Jimmy G's gone. He doesn't have to be there. What, does he think Brian Hoyer is going to take his job?
I don't think Hoyer or Etling is going to take his job. That's true. I think that it might be, again, one of those things where it's a whole number of issues. Like, seeing his family, sure, that's helpful. Or being home with the kids right now, yeah, I'm sure he likes doing that. But is that the sole reason why he's missing? I would say no. You know, if Garoppolo's there, there's a little bit more incentive to probably be there. And then this whole thing going back and forth between, you know, how he feels, if he's being appreciated and all that other stuff, I'm sure that's on the list as well.
Is Gronk not there simply because he's saying, well, if Brady doesn't have to be there, I don't have to be there?
Nah,
why is Gronk not there?
I think they are separate. Like, I think it was Tommy Curran or maybe somebody else who's reporting on this saying, you know, these two guys are going through a lot of the same things about, you know, what they feel like they're going to and not going to go to and how they feel on the team, but they're doing it separately. Like, I don't think he's looking at it like, oh, Brady's doing this. I think you were on it before about the contract. And if he's not there, well, let's say there's the once he's able to actually sign a new contract,
which is Thursday.
If he doesn't do it then I think that raises, in Schefter's words, a red flag. And then if he does sign a contract, I would be shocked if he wasn't there pretty soon thereafter. So this, we may have an update on Gronk, you know, within the week. Whereas with Brady, I think that any time that there's the word voluntary in front of any of this stuff, maybe when he's missing.
I mean, I guess it's easy to say, oh, come on, it's 11 against 11. There's no pads. You're not hitting. You know, what's going to happen to him? But I can also see where if you're a player like Gronk, you're saying, until I sign this thing, I think I'm not going to take any chances.
Yeah, right. I mean, he was, well, we don't know how serious he was or not, but he was contemplating retirement just a couple of months ago. And then, what, do you think he's going to be out there the first day of voluntary OTAs? No, he's going to wait and make sure he gets a new contract, gets some more money, and then he'll probably be there. I think that makes the most sense to me.
It almost bothers me more that he's not here. The contract thing is a valid reason. If that's what it is, I got no beefs. If it's simply, well, yeah, the beach in Jamaica is really nice. And
well, it is.
Take a look at her.
Yeah, it's lady.
Where would you
there.
Rather be?
She looks pretty good there.
Would you rather be up there sweating with the other guys, or would you rather be here on the beach in
Jamaica?
So
that's not fair, though, Dale. So if Gronk had kids, you would say, well, he's with his kids.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying with Brady.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's totally different. You think every other guy on the team wouldn't rather be on the beach in Jamaica right now than being at OTAs?
But a lot of guys need to be there to fight for their spot. Gronk is very similar to Brady in the sense that whenever he shows up, he's the guy. Like, there's nobody anywhere near him in the league, let alone on the team.
I mean, you could say that about Dante Hightower, too. You know, is his spot on the team in jeopardy? No, but he's there.
No, I know, but he could.
Is David Andrews' spot on the offensive line
Maybe.
In jeopardy? Probably not.
Maybe.
Probably
Joe
not,
Joe Tooney's
though.
Probably is. No, but a lot of guys have to be there, and then a lot of guys, whether it's their contract status. Again, Gronk probably just wants to do contract. You see, you know, Aaron Donald is not at Rams OTAs. He's the best player on that team. He's in the last year of his rookie deal. So it's obviously different than Gronk and Brady. But Gronk wants more money. So it's probably, you know, I guess it's more similar to his. You see guys miss OTAs all the time. It's not usually with the Patriots, though. So it's a little bit different for them.
This is totally different here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different than what we're used to seeing. And that's why today was the first time it bothered me. I didn't care about any of the other stuff.
A couple weeks ago, hard to get too worked up about that. Like, oh, he's not going to be in there when they're doing, you know, bench
squats
press,
and stuff,
deadlift.
Which he's not doing any of that stuff anyway.
No,
so
he's going to watch.
He's going to stand around and watch Julian Edelman.
Well, he could
get a flex on.
Maybe spot Edelman doing bench.
I don't want him doing that either.
I don't want him taking a chance.
No, yeah, don't spot all right. anybody.
All right, fine.
Stay where, I don't even know where he is. I mean, I didn't know if he was in New York. I know Giselle is somewhere off in the world.
What do you think Belichick's thinking right now?
Well, my guess is he already knows. And just guessing here, that Brady has already communicated with Belichick. Hey, listen, I'm not going to be there till June 3rd, whatever the date is. I forget what the mandatory minicamp is. You know, that's when I'll be in.
You think he told him that face-to-face over the phone? Because I wonder how that went. And I wonder, probably just a long kind of silence, maybe a snort. And then, like, he's definitely not happy about this. Because, again, what's made everything work in the past is he
everybody
can,
bought in.
Yeah, and you can treat the greatest player of all time like you treat the 50th guy on the roster. And maybe the greatest player of all time doesn't necessarily love that now. I think that's what we're seeing. But for all these years, all these guys would buy in. You know, we've had Mike Vrabel on and Troy Brown and other guys, and they would see how Brady's getting treated. And they're like, all right, well, we better fall in line. And Brady would always be at all of these things. You know, so to your point, like Brady and Gronk would be there. So the guy who is third on the depth chart is like, well, God, I mean, of course I'm going to be there. Of course I'm going to put in everything I have. And either other starters would say the same thing. Like, well, why on earth would I miss this if Brady and Gronk are here?
Isn't this the beginning of the end of the Patriot way?
Yeah, probably. Right, because that's the thing.
Because the Patriot way, while it was authored by Bill Belichick, the architect was Tom Brady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And again, you started to see it go away a little bit, right? Because before, that whole thing about like the parking space, right? Like he would be there, and like he was one of these workout warriors, and it was all about the team. That was for maybe the first half of his career. And then after that, he would still attend all of these things, but he wasn't getting like the workout awards and all of that stuff, but he was still there. But this is such a headline that you would see with every other team. Like, I just mentioned Aaron Donald, but there's a bunch before, like Le'Veon Bell in years past with Pittsburgh. A lot of star players miss camp or miss OTAs or miss whatever else. Usually it's not a Patriot issue. Usually you're not seeing the headline, and it was on ESPN, it was everywhere else. Tom Brady, not there. And then sort of a sub-story from that is Rob Gronkowski. So you have your two best players that feel like they don't need to go to day one.
Well, and Gronk went through that whole, I don't know if I'm going to play.
Yeah, he wasn't
finally,
really sure.
I think he got his bluff called by Bill Belichick.
I think he did.
I think it became, okay, cut the crap.
Well, so that one, I feel like Gronk and Belichick are more on the same page than Brady and Belichick. I could be wrong, but I think you go back to the meeting that Gronk had with Drew Rosenhaus and Bill Belichick. Don't you think they came to some sort of agreement? Because after that, remember Gronk took the Instagram and he was talking about Twitter about how he had this great meeting with the coach and he's going to be playing this year and all of that stuff. Because that was after the stupid motocross press conference that he had. So I think that was basically
when the come to Jesus meeting happened.
We're done here. Hey, you're not doing vroom,
Rob,
vroom.
Bring your agent and be at my office, you know, Monday at 9.
But don't you think they came to some sort of agreement? Maybe they said, hey, we're going to sign this contract on Thursday the 24th. And then whether it's the 25th, I forget when the next OTA thing is, you're going to be there then. Like, if you want to skip that, if you want to be out, you want to be in a different country until then, great. But then
done right now. They can't exercise until the 24th.
Yeah.
You know, this was probably a fairly straightforward contract negotiation. You know, he's got an $8 million base for next year. We're going to add a couple of million dollars in incentives. They're going to be structured along the lines of last year's, this much for this, this much for this. I'm guessing that it's probably already done and sitting in a drawer somewhere.
Does this put any doubt into you about how long Brady plays? Like, is this the beginning of his, like, is this how he goes into his last year, let's say, compared to, because he is not as adamant as he was a year ago, but he has still put out there the, you know, play until my mid-40s. I still want to do this.
He still says it, but I doubt it.
I do, too. I really doubt it.
I didn't think mid-40s was an option anyway. I've always
thought... Yeah, it's true. You've always gotten a little
42
bit...
42 was going to be about it.
I think he plays two more seasons. That's my prediction. Now, this could very well be the last one. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last one for Gronk, and he's just trying to maximize every dollar he can possibly get for this year, so you hopefully get a raise, and then maybe it's it. I think, and even Belichick, I think we're looking at a year or two for him as well.
Oh, I don't.
See, I because of Josh McDaniels being back, that's why I think Belichick only has a year or two. More than Andy Hart. Andy Hart gave him a month. I think he has.
In fact, he's already a month overdue.
he's already passed. I give him this year and maybe next.
Luciano's on the cell phone. Hey, Luciano.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Not much. I just, you know, want to say this. What if, right, Brady went to Belichick and say, listen, I think I earned this, you know, to be able to have off the OTAs. And, you know, with all these years being there, being the player that he is, that we know what he brought to New England, and why couldn't that be a case like that where Belichick signed off on and he's okay with Brady not being there?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they did talk. I really wouldn't. In fact, I'd actually be surprised if Brady hasn't informed Belichick exactly what he
probably
plans
talk to
do.
Him. But I'd be.
I think you're right.
But I don't think Belichick would be happy with it. He might understand it, but he's not thinking, "Oh, no big deal." He just Brady. We just played the cut from November where Brady's going on and on about how Belichick, you know, how consistent he is in his approach and his work ethic and how important everything is to him, including OTAs.
Everything's important. The walkthroughs, the OTAs.
This is what we're talking about.
Training camp.
So he knows how important it is.
Tom Brady's also played 37 playoff games in his NFL career. He's played more than two full seasons just in playoffs. So that takes his 18-year career and makes it a 20-year-plus career.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he may be saying to Belichick, listen, I can't do that anymore. I just physically can't crank myself up to do that. And my guess is that while he might prefer to have him here, Josh McDaniel said that when the coaches were speaking.
He would love to have everybody there.
He said, look, I'd like to have everybody here, but I know he's going to be ready. I know he's going to be fit. And Belichick knows that. He's not concerned about, you know, Brady sitting on a beach eating bonbons somewhere.
Oh, this isn't like, you know, the NFL in the 60s where guys would just show up. They had like another job and they would show up out of shape or whatever. This is very different than that. I don't think anybody is suggesting he's not going to be in top shape. But you just wonder, could the team get more out of it? Could the team be better prepared if he was there this week?
Michael's in Lynn. Hey, Michael.
How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Michael?
Great. Good.
I just wanted to say that I hear a lot of ungrateful people talking about what Tom is doing or what Tom isn't doing. All this time has been about Tom slipping. Maybe the coach is slipping. He gave Jimmy G away. He gave up 41 points to a backup quarterback. What's going on? What am I missing?
But he gave up Garoppolo because he has Brady, right?
Well, his arrogance is costing the team right now. His arrogance is costing the team. Because if Brady retired today, what do we got? 7-9, right?
Oh, at best.
Might be worse.
Maybe worse than that.
So why is the coach busting the best player's balls over what?
He's not, at least publicly.
Come on. You won't let his trainer work on him. He got that part of it.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you meant about not being at the OTAs.
Oh yeah.
I'm talking.
The Guerrero stuff.
Why don't you worry about making sure you can stop somebody on defense? That defense has never been a top five defense, but our offense has every single year.
That defense was a top five defense last year.
But yeah.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
I mean, technically, yes, it was.
Points per game.
Yes,
no, it wasn't. Yeah. Points per game.
Yeah, I think they were fifth.
Bottom of the barrel.
No, you're exactly wrong.
No,
Michael.
You're wrong about that. Now you could say they didn't look like one in the Super Bowl. I'd be there, but defensively they were.
The offense has been a top five offense the last decade. The defense has not been that.
Defense was fifth last year.
Did you hear us?
Fifth.
They were fifth.
Points per game.
Yes.
Yes.
Points
fifth. Fifth.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Points per game. Fifth.
Yards,
fifth.
Yards. What are they? Yards,
who cares? Who cares? No, what does it matter?
The only thing that matters is
you just
is
changed
points.
Your thing. What does it matter?
It matters.
You started with points, but it didn't fit what you were saying.
Defense has been carried by the offense
fifth.
For the last decade.
Yes. The offense is better. Yes.
Top five.
Absolutely. The defense was fifth in the NFL last year.
Oh, my
goodness. So why don't the coach worry about fixing the defense instead of worrying about mishandling the offense?
I get the feeling Michael's not hearing the wavelength we're broadcasting on.
He says they've never had a top five defense. Like, listen, they didn't play like it. And you could say
in the Super Bowl.
They were terrible in the Super Bowl. But they finished the regular season fifth. That was our big argument we had with Holly because the first four games they were like 28th.
And he said they were going to finish.
They were going to finish the top five, and they did. They finished fifth.
And I can vividly remember sitting with Belichick, and I said, what's the statistic you're most concerned about when it comes to judging a defense? He said, points. That's what matters. Points per game. They were fifth, Michael, in Lynn. Sorry.
What about yards? Yeah, they were lower.
Rushing yards? What about passing yards?
I don't know. How about
third down efficiency?
He did not want to take that L. He did not.
Well, he was just adamant that they weren't top five in points either, until we pointed out they were fifth in points.
Yeah, I thought he was going to bring... It sounded like he kind of was going to bring back the Malcolm Butler topic.
Might have been next.
I feel like we've kind of put that to rest.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.